Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
Jaguars Postgame, JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey from the HananiaAutos.com studio at EverBank Field. Fred Taylor with us on the line from South Florida. Fred, 51-17, final score. The Patriots scored on all nine of their regular drives today. And for a defense that doesn't get much worse than that when you're playing that type of an offense on that type of a day, Fred.
Hey, JP, how's it going, guys? Yeah, it's this is a tough one for me to swallow. I'm sure it's going to be tough for the coaching staff, especially the defensive coaching staff, man. I mean, not a single stop, no matter how you look at it. Not a single stop, not a single punt. Pretty much just gave the punter a bonus this week. But, you know, it's always more opportunity back to the drawing board, man. Try to get this one completely out of your, you know, your mind, and get ready for the next one. The next one isn't going to be easy. Divisional opponent. I mean, not a divisional opponent, but actually it is.
Yeah, Colts.
So yeah, it's the Colts. Excuse me for the lapse. But they got to get rid of this one as soon as possible and get ready to move on to the next one.
Yeah, speaking of the Colts right now, they are knotted up, just about knotted up with Tennessee. Tennessee going for two to try to tie the game with under a minute left, and they get a pass interference call, so they get a free play to go for it again. Fred, it's tough to, when you talk about one play in a game that goes 51-17. It really didn't hinge on one play, but how devastating was the interception by Blake Bortles, where he really missed Mercedes Lewis badly late in the first half? Jags only trailing by 10 at that point. You're thinking, boy, they could punch it in, and it's 13-10 at the half, even with New England getting the ball to start the second half. You're right there in the football game.
Yeah, no, Mike, I agree. That was a very critical INT right there. You don't want to have any mistakes, especially against a team like the Patriots. But more than just that interception, Mike, I mean, penalties. You look at a couple penalties early. Linder, you know, he had a 10-yarder that negated a nice run. A few pass interference penalties to start the third quarter. That actually, you pretty much just gave them a touchdown. They only had to just punch it in, 1 yard run by Blunt. So I mean, the injuries and the youth and inexperience in a away game against a first ballot Hall of Famer in Tom Brady, you know, you can't make those mistakes. You gotta, you know, have your best. And it was nowhere near their best, and it you know, equated to a blowout.
Fred, here's the good news, if you're ready for the good news. If the scores hold up right now, the Jags are tied for first place at 1-2 in the AFC South. Let me ask you, when you have a game like this, I know you got to learn from your mistakes, but is it sometimes better to just burn the film and just try to put that one, pretend it didn't happen? I mean, how do you put a game like this behind you and get ready for the game next week?
You know, when I was just talking about getting it out of your mind, I hope the coaches just cut the film up. You know, don't show the guys the film. Just get rid of this. Like, look, we have a clean slate. We're still in the lead in our division. We have a divisional opponent coming in here. Let's try and focus in on that. And passively, through coaching, you know, in an indirect manner on the practice field, you know, I would make these corrections, but I wouldn't let the players know that these particular corrections them from the Patriots game, although I would address them. But the film, you know, those guys, I mean, get it out of your system. I mean, this is a depressing tape to watch. And then the injuries, that stuff doesn't make it feel any better. So I say just throw it away.
JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Jaguars post game continues. We're actually standing by for the head coach, Gus Bradley. Jeff Loggeman outside of the Jaguars locker room waiting for the first word with the Jaguars head coach after 51-17 final score today in Foxborough. Fred, what's a positive from this game? Is there anything at all you can take from this game?
Two things, right there at the very end, and hopefully it's a sign of things to come, getting the tight ends involved. you know, they're watching it, the live broadcast there. The broadcaster, he mentioned that the tight end set an NFL record with 36 tight ends and 36 touchdowns in the first two games. That didn't include the Jaguars tight ends because they didn't have a catch at that particular point in time. But they forced the issue right there late in the game, and Blake, he had a nice tight spiral, very decisive to Harbor right there in the last few minutes of the game. So for me, hopefully that's a sign of things to come, and I took that out as a positive. The other thing was the hustle early in the game.
Fred, hang on just a second. Let's go to New England right now, and Jeff Lagerman is with the head coach, Gus Bradley. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Gus, obviously a tough one to take. 9 possessions the Patriots had. They scored on every one. Tough matchup against a great football team and a great quarterback.
Yeah, very good. I give them all the credit. I mean, they play with precision from top to bottom, all phases of their game. So, it was a tough battle for us, you know. But we'll regroup. Got a lot to learn from this game, and we will.
What do you learn from this game?
Well, I think the importance of precision. We just met with our team in the locker room. We talked about that's what precision looks like. And when you play a good team, it's so important. And we didn't play as precise as we need to today.
How do you take it from here? Do you Monday just say, look, let's move on? I mean, you're still right there in the lead of your division.
Right. No. We'll take a look at this film. You know, I just told the team, this game, this outcome doesn't validate us. You know, at the end we'll talk about. The journey validates us. But there's a lot to be learned from this. So we'll take a good, hard look at this film and learn the lessons.
Some injuries, Sergio Brown, Josh Evans, 2 more secondary guys go down. Not good when you're kind of struggling to get guys to dress on game day.
Yeah, you know what, and I give credit. Peyton Thompson played nickel for us last week, and we had to move him back to free safety and did an admirable job, you know. And Sample, he got in there, got more reps. So those guys will take these experiences, and it'll help us in the long run.
All right, thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
Gus Bradley with Jeff Lagerman outside of the Jaguars locker room. We'll come back in a moment. More with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey. Jeff Lagerman inside the Jaguars locker room as well. Tough one today. 51-17, Patriots over the Jags. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. Final score 51-17, Patriots over the Jags. More with Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey in a moment. Let's go back to Foxborough. Jeff Lagerman has Roy Miller. Jeff.
All right, thank you, JP. Roy, great football team of the New England Patriots, defending Super Bowl champs, but that doesn't make taking this easy, does it?
No. We put on our pants, you know, 1 foot at a time like they do. And we thought we had a chance coming into the game. So, it didn't happen like that. As a man, it's frustrating.
Next week, you go to Indianapolis. You guys are in the division lead, believe it or not. Does that at least kind of give you a little bit of thought process to move forward and, hey, get beyond this game?
Yeah, we definitely got to move forward. It's hard to watch because that's not who we are, but obviously they're a good team too. And so we gotta move forward. We gotta look forward to Indy, and we gotta let this one go and work towards becoming a better team.
All right, thank you, Roy.
Thank you,
Jeff Lagerman with an upset Roy Miller for sure. Fred Taylor back with us now. Sorry to cut you off there a moment ago, Fred.
Oh, no problem.
Had to get to the head coach, but hey, Roy's got it right. I mean, you just got to move on to Indy now at this point.
Yeah, you know, Roy has it right. There's a reason I'm not the coach, because Gus said, look, we're going to watch this film. And sometimes you have to face it, you know. So everybody has their different approach. But, you know, Roy, a guy who's been to the top, having won a Super Bowl, he knows they're better. But they didn't show that today.
Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey, J.P. Shadrick will take a timeout on Jaguars postgame. Plenty left to come. The Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions for Freddie T as well. The most points the Jaguars have allowed in a single game in team history today. 51-17, Patriots over the Jags. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame continues. Final score in week 3. All Patriots all day, 51-17 over the Jags. Xfinity is your home for the most live sports and the most devices, with 24/7 sports coverage on all major networks. It's never been easier to enjoy the entertainment you love at home and on the go. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey here in Jacksonville. Fred Taylor, proud of the Jaguars, running back with us down in South Florida today. It's time, Fred. Are you ready for the Comcast questions here?
Fred? Hey, J.P., man, I'm always ready. Let's do this.
Let's hit them. The Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game from Freddie T. Brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Number one, Fred, here we go. Where do you start on defense?
In the training room, pretty banged up. So we got to get those guys off the table and out on the field so they can make some plays.
All right, Fred, question number two. Blake Bortles, not so hot week one. Very good last week, and then not so hot today. How do you help a young quarterback find some consistency week to week?
Well, you keep letting gun away, man. You know, you want to continue to build his confidence. I think if you try and, you know, settle things down, then he becomes a little hesitant. But just let him go out there and be the player he is. He's going to make some mistakes. He didn't make enough mistakes today to just badger to completely beat the team, but he'll grow from it.
And finally, the third and final question, moving on to Indy. Hey, it's a division game. This game that was just played today has just got to be erased, right?
You got to erase this game. You definitely got to erase this game. Indy's been struggling. Two teams that aren't playing their best right now. Still early in the season. You go and watch the film and hopefully get a win next week.
There you have it. The Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers of the game from Fred Taylor. Yeah, looking through the you hate it when you pull out the record book when the other team is making all those records. You know, well, there are a few records today. The 400th touchdown for Brady. That's not a record, but the fourth person in history to do that. The kicker, for goodness sake, had the most consecutive extra points made today.
Right.
and then you go back in the Jaguars' annals, the most points allowed by the Jaguars ever in a game today, 51. 50 was the previous record in 1998 at Minnesota. And then the largest margin of defeat was in play for a short time until the very end. The Jags at one point were down 41. That would have been the second most, but they scored there very late to avoid that today. So that's never a good day when you start looking in the record books for the other side, Fred.
You know, it's all bad for us. It wasn't a good day at all. I mean, 35 first downs. I pulled out a few stats myself. 6 of 8 in the red zone. You know, the Patriots, well, a machine. You know, you give them credit where it's due, and it starts at the top. And, you know, all of us in Jacksonville, all of the Jaguar Nation fans around the world, you know, we hope to be, you know, just as competitive or that team someday. So you got to keep grinding from the ownership down, finding the right players to put in there, and hopefully get some luck along the way. And maybe one day the Jags will be the team that everybody's talking about in the record books.
Fred,
and their players as well.
Yeah, sure. Fred, you're one of the few that's been a part of both of these franchises. You, of course, were up in New England. Was there ever – was Brady ever – Brady's never played like this before, right, or has he?
Yeah, you know what, JP, he didn't play – I don't think he played this well in my 2 years when I was up there, but I'm pretty sure his preparation hasn't changed a bit. I mean, guy who's extremely urgent, practices exactly like he plays the game. You know, no matter who you are, you can get it. And what I mean by get it, meaning the veterans, the practice squad guys, everybody's the same in his eyes. And it's all in a respectful manner. And, you know, I sort of smirk when outsiders talk bad about Tom and how much they hate him, and I was one of those people that, you know, hated him from a football standpoint because they would always be our nemesis and be in the way from what we were trying to accomplish. But when you work beside him and you see the work that he puts in, you got to give him credit. I respect him, I mean, wholeheartedly. And the football fans, the real fans, they should be able to someday say, you know what, I had an opportunity to witness this greatness. And for that, you know, I salute him. So, I mean, that's what you're up against. So I don't want to get him too much credit. This is a Jaguars show. But, you know, I can't help but be truthful.
Oh, there's no question he's playing great football. Whether it's the greatest he's ever played in his career is up for debate. 2007, sure. He set the league record at the time with 50 touchdown passes. And we saw what he did against the Jags. Practically not a ball hit the ground in the playoffs against him. So hard to say he's better than that, but he's just about as good as he's ever been. And that offense right now, as long as they keep Gronk and Edelman healthy, I think everybody else is interchangeable on that football team. LeGarrette Blount suspended the first game, minimal touches last week. This week, they get him in, get him a bunch of touchdowns, and next week it might be somebody else. That's kind of how they do it with their backfield. So as long as the key three stay healthy, Brady, Gronk, and Edelman, I think, sky's the limit for that offense, obviously.
No doubt.
Yes, I do agree, and we got to factor in Coach Belichick there. He's it starts with him.
Fred Taylor, we'll be back with you in just a moment. Mike, you too.
I'll hang around.
Yeah, why not? Jaguars postgame. We'll come back with the highlights, the Bud Light play of the game, and a little later, final Everbank stats check. Tough one today. 51-17 Patriots over the Jags in week 3. The Jags fall to 1-2. The Patriots, of course, are 3-0. We'll come back with more in a moment. It's Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. Final score in Foxborough. Patriots 51, Jaguars 17, the most points allowed by the Jaguars in team history today. And all Patriots all day. They scored on every full possession. The only possession they did not score was at the end of the game when they took knees to drain the clock. So 9 regular possessions, 9 scores for New England today. So we go to the highlights from today's game in New England. We'll also pick a Bud Light play of the game. New England opening drive for the Patriots. Jags go 3-and-out, punt it to them. Deion Lewis has been having a good couple of first games, adds to it here early with a touchdown.
Receivers to either side, 2 to the right now. Lewis remains the running back.
51!
Play clock is 7. Hand off to Deion Lewis. Picks his way near the 5-yard line. Still on his feet. He's going to walk into the end zone. He broke a tackle about the 5-yard line. He's going to score from 8 yards away. 8-yard touchdown run by Deion Lewis. And the Patriots are on the board first.
7-0 New England. Gostkowski hit one from 46. Made it a 10-0 game. Jags had a 17-play drive. Myers hits a 40-yard field goal. Cuts the lead to 10-3. Gostkowski from 20 yards away. 13-3 score, so the Jags are right there in the thick of this game until Blake Bortles throws an interception to a guy that the Jags courted in the offseason.
Tight ends to either side now for Jacksonville. Under center is Blake. Dropping. Steps up. Fires to the right side. That is going to be picked off. Way overthrown to Mercedes Lewis. Intercepted and a long return now by the Patriots out past their own 40-yard line. That was easy pickings for Devin McCourty there, and the Patriots take over outside their own 40-yard line.
That was with less than 2 minutes to play in the first half, and it set up Tom Brady. Goes down the field. Finally, he was sitting on 399 touchdowns all time in his career. He has number 400 before the halftime locker room.
Under center is Brady. Play fake. Pump fake. Fires to the back of the end zone. Touchdown. Danny Amendola gets number 400 from Tom Brady.
So Brady has his 400th. He's the fourth all-time to reach that number in league history. 20-3 the halftime score. Boy, the Patriots come right back out, and Gostkowski from 46 is good. 23-3. Jags go 3-and-out, and then another lengthy drive. Couple of interference calls. Sets up New England, and Blount on the field. Has not had a lot of production early in the season, but big in the second half today.
First down from the 1-yard line for the Patriots. LeGarrette Blount runs it right up the middle for a touchdown. So what looked like could have been a 75-yard interception return is nullified, and Blount runs it in there from a yard away, and it's a touchdown for the Patriots.
It was after the interference call in the end zone negated that interception. Jags bounce back, though. Bortles to Hearns, a 59-yard touchdown.
Patriots show blitz, and they come. Bortles fires it out to the right side. Allen Hurns, he has it. Got away from a defender. Allen Hurns inside the 20, inside the 10, inside the 5. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Bortles to Allen Hurns for the score.
30-10. Then it's Brady to Keyshawn Martin. The scoring just keeps on coming for New England.
Brady drops. Looks. Tries to scramble out of there. Stays behind the line. Fires. That's going to be caught. And that's going to be a touchdown. Keyshawn Martin. Brady scrambled to the left, found Martin inside the 5-yard line. Keyshawn ran it in for the touchdown. and another score for the Patriots.
37-10 will spare you the other two blunt touchdowns. That made it 51-10 after his two different. He had three different one-yard touchdown runs today. And then the Jags get on the board late again. Bortles to Harbor. This from 6 yards away to end the score.
Minute 30 to play. Bortles drops. Look. Fires it into the end zone. Clay Harbor makes the catch for the touchdown. Bortles hits Clay Harbor in the back of the end zone, and it's a touchdown for the Jaguars.
Final score, 51-17. The Bud Light play of the game, Bortles to Hearns. 59-yard touchdown. That made it a 30-10 New England lead. And for the Jags, one of the few bright spots today, that's the Bud Light play of the game, brought to you by Bud Light, who reminds fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly. We'll come back in a moment. More with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey. Final score 51-17. The Patriots, they're 3-0. The Jags fall to 1-2. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah and Farrah, and by Everbank. Jaguars postgame continues right now.
Final score, 51-17, New England over Jacksonville in Week 3. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey here in Jacksonville. Fred Taylor with us on the line tonight from South Florida. It's time for an Everbank final stats check. Strap in and hang on. It is not pretty today if you're a Jags fan. Total first downs in this game. Patriots, 35 first downs. The Jags had 15 today. Third down efficiency. Patriots 11 of 14 on third downs. Jaguars 6-12. Yardage 471 to 293. All Pats. Rush yardage 125 to 57. Passing yardage 346 to 236. It is obviously lopsided in favor of New England all day. And that's what happens when you score on every single drive that you have on offense.
35 is a lot of first downs.
A lot.
To get. Individually, no surprise here, following up on those team stats, Tom Brady, he completed as many as Blake Bortles attempted today. He was 33 out of 42 for 358 and a couple of scores. Blake went 17 of 33, 242. The two touchdown passes, the late first half interception as well. They couldn't get the running game going today. The Jags, T.J. Yeldon, 11 carries for 33 yards. No one else really of note there. LeGarrette Blount for the Pats, 18 for 78 with three touchdowns. Deion Lewis chipped in with 8 for 37 and a touchdown as well on the ground. Alan Hearns, only two catches today. He did have that 59-yarder, which was the play of the game that went for a long touchdown. Allen Robinson targeted 9 times. They could only hook up 4 times with him for 68 yards today. On the other side, Rob Gronkowski caught 4 for 101, and Julian Edelman caught 8 for 85. Those are not even particularly explosive games for either one of those guys. So, you know, despite that, they didn't get high-end production out of their high-end receivers. They still obviously did what they did today offensively.
One other note on the first downs in this game, 35 for New England. The league record, by the way, is 40. So they were only 5 away from the league record. New Orleans did it against Dallas back in 2013. That's the league record.
And by the way, today of note as well, Paul Posluszny all over the place. 18 tackles, 14 solos today, and that's in part due to the fact that the Patriots had about a 10-minute advantage due to time of possession, and you're out there, all those opportunities are there. You're completing all the short passes on third down, Fred. There are going to be tackle opportunities out there for you, I guess.
Yeah, there are going to be plenty of tackle opportunities. I mean, I think it was 75 plays or something like that. So it's a lot of opportunities to get tackles. 76 plays, my apologies.
Yeah, we're counting. I'll tell you, there's a lot of plays on defense today for this Jags unit. And it was just a methodical, at times, approach, too. I mean, these guys had lengthy drives time after time down the field, and there's just not much you can do if you're out there and they're getting third downs and staying on the field.
You know, JP, I mean, early in the game, this was early, it was a close game at the time, but their third possession, as well as the Jaguars' third possession, it was like just a slugfest. Jags, 17 plays, 58 yards, came up with a field goal. Patriots, 14, 78, came up with a field goal. And then after that, in that fourth possession, was the interception. Pat's fourth possession, 8 plays, 57, and a touchdown. So the teams, they both had 10 drives for the entire game, yet the score is so lopsided because one team executed the way they saw in the game plan preparation. So, you know, again, they're a well-coached team. They make the necessary plays. They have a Hall of Fame quarterback. You give them credit where credit due, while at the same time, you know, encouraging your team to make those plays, gain that experience, and hopefully get those W's in the win column.
There's the EverBank final stats check. Republic Services, the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. They're the official waste provider of the Jags and have proudly served the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. We'll come back in a moment and pick a Safe Touch Security player of the game. Jags fall in Foxborough. 51-17, the final. More Jaguars postgame in a moment on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues after a really tough day in Foxborough. 51-17 Patriots over the Jags. Most points the Jags have allowed in franchise history. The previous high was 50 back in 1998 against Minnesota up in Minnesota in the Metrodome. And the Jags fall to 1-2. It's time to name a Safe Touch Security player of the game. And, of course, here's how it works. Mike, you and I get a vote. Fred gets a vote and a half if there's any tiebreaker. His name's on the wall.
It would take both of us to outvote.
He gets the weight. Yes. So you and I will vote first. Fred, you'll vote third today. Mike, who you got?
Well, I'm going to go on the theory that no one on the defense needs to be recognized for anything on a day when the Patriots scored on practically every single
Not even Ryan
drive.
Davis, Mike? He got a chance to touch Mr. 400.
He did get a chance, Fred. And the result was they scored on that drive as well. Yeah. I'm going to go with Allen Hurns.
Well, they scored on every drive.
I know. That's my point. I kind of look for somebody on the other side. I'm going to go Hurns with the two catches for 70 at the 59-yard touchdown. And the other grab, I mean, it's so few plays it stood out, really. But the other grab was a nice ball that Blake threw between double coverage, and Hurns made a tough catch to pick up a first down. Not a whole lot there, but that's what I'm going with. JP?
All right, I'm
going
to go with Paul Posluszny just because 18 tackles is 18 tackles, and that doesn't happen a lot. And, you know, you got to pick something out of this day, and that's what I picked. Fred?
Oh wow. So my guy is going to win, I guess. I was going to go with Harbor. He had
wow.
a catch coming. He didn't have a single catch coming into the game. I mean, he could have, you know, asked for a new contract or something. He could have just walked out of the building. He could have did anything. But he continued to fight, man, and they finished the game. You know, as a player, it's hard to go out there that late in the game in a blowout, JP. Mm-hmm. You know, so part of this is the fact that he didn't quit. You know, and hopefully, like I said earlier, hopefully this is a sign of things to come and that they're going to give the player of the game more opportunities the upcoming weeks, or at least that position that he plays. So I'm going to go with Harbor, and that's my player of the game.
In a stunning upset, Clay Harbor at the wire gets it done for the player of the week. A couple drops early, but like you said,
he
rallied
yeah.
late and played through the 60 minutes, and that's what you asked for.
Hey, right. I'm just glad Freddie gave it to somebody on the offensive side. Honestly. That's all.
I mean, those guys could be frustrated now. It hadn't been really good for that position. I mean,
you're right.
You gotta get them involved, you know, or find a way to try and get them involved, whether it's by design or, you know, the quarterback telling himself, look, let me at least peek over there, or whatever it may be. I think that can be an added, you know, element to the offense and open up some other things.
And Fred, look, I'm not trying to say there's many silver linings here, but if you want to look for something as a positive, the Jags scored 14 second half points today. They've struggled to put points up in the second half so far. So again, I'm really reaching to look for a couple of positives here, but if you wanted to say what could be a positive, that would be one thing. They did manage to move the ball a little bit more effectively.
Well,
in the second half.
Mike, and I went back to another positive. They're 50% on third down. You know, 6 of 12, not a whole lot of plays, a lot of snaps, 55 snaps. But 50%, I mean, you're converting half of those. You know, you just want to get some points to go with them.
No doubt.
We'll come back in a moment after we've just named the Safe Touch Security player of the game. We'll come back with the Baptist Health Injury Report. And this is a banged-up Jaguars football team right now, a lot to at least discuss in just a moment. Final score, 51-17 New England over Jacksonville. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame rolls along. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey here in Jacksonville. Fred Taylor on the line with us from South Florida as the Jags fall to the Patriots 51-17. Pats are 3-0. The Jags, of course, 1-2. Time for the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. And you know what? Going into the game, guys, this was certainly a topic. The question, there were questions all over the team on injury report today, but the offensive line. Jokel did not play today. Brandon Linder did. He was a game-time decision, went with a shoulder injury today. Cyprian did not play. So that starts the theme of this secondary. Cyprian didn't play, so Evans and Sample played there today. Evans left the game with, a knee injury?
Knee injury.
And did not return. Marquise Lee, who was questionable for the game, the wide receiver, left the game with a hamstring injury, did not return. Back to the secondary. Sergio Brown had a calf injury, is what we heard.
That's correct.
House was back on the field on the last drive, it looked like, but didn't look like he was moving 100%.
Favoring his foot or his ankle, we thought.
Yeah, and then, of course, the tight end, Clay Harbor, limped off at one point, came back, finished the game. Injury report, guys getting banged up, especially in the secondary, Fred, and this is a group last week that gritted through that and got the job done at the end of the day. But that's not something you want to rely on every single week, your second, right, third string guy.
Right. That's exactly right, JP. And even more so, you have a divisional opponent who's coming in here with a well-balanced attack, but they'll pass it on your grandmother if she's out there. You know, that Andrew Luck, he's struggling a bit. That might be the one blessing in disguise here with the injuries. Yet the guys that are out there, this is the NFL. You know, you don't want to feel sorry about anyone, man. It is what it is. You make your moves, sign who you need to sign, get guys ready to play, and there's always next man up. And this is how you find stars. A lot of guys go unnoticed, and sometimes you can find a kid, a player of great talent, and hopefully for our sake, we find that guy that can, help the defense get better each and every week. Still a long season left, so we got to get somebody out there to play, I tell you that much.
And not to mention the other regular guys that would be starters that are not ready to go yet. Sin'Derek Marks, Andre Branch is still out. I mean, Denard Robinson was out today. He's, been playing a good part on this offense too. Toby Garrett was back in the field today, got a little time, but there's a lot of guys that you still haven't seen much from at all this season either, and they're due to come out. Julius Thomas, for goodness sake,
right,
still
right. And you know what? That can bring mixed emotions, JP. I know as a player, when I was out with my injuries, I hated being out because I knew what I meant to the team. But more than that, I knew what I meant to, we all developed different friendships within the locker room. I knew what I meant to those guys, and they understood how much I wanted to be out there. And then you tend to start to feel a sense of, do these guys think I'm milking it? Do they think I'm faking it? Do they think I'm just kind of gradually taking my own time? Where everyone wants to play, I'm sure. So, it's a matter of you don't want the locker room to become divided, in a sense. And I think that with the way Coach Bradley coaches, that shouldn't be a thought. Well, I would hope not. Yet it happens, man. It's the NFL. Guys want guys out there now. Coaches want guys out there now. Some guys want to be out there, and some guys tend to take their own little time with it. So I just want these guys to not give up on each other. Continue to say we still have a pretty solid team. Guys, get ready. This is what it's all about. We got to count on each other even more now. And let's go and try to win some games. You're tied for the division lead. So, that's a positive, and hopefully try and build on it.
To this end, and for what it's worth, what's that, FWIW, if you use that on Twitter, right?
For what it's worth.
For what it's worth. Marquise Lee told Mike DiRocco of ESPN, and DiRocco putting this on Twitter earlier, that Marquise Lee told him, he could have gone back into the game, but the team held him out. So you're going to say that, right? We'll see.
I mean, you look at that a lot of different ways, because if you can go back in the game and you're losing, you want to help your team, then you go back in the game. You know, I don't really understand. I mean, it depends on at what point in the game. You know, if it were a 30-point blowout, then you say, well, you don't need to go back in the game. But if there's a way to try to get out there and give your team a spark, get out there and make it happen.
Yeah, Fred, I'm not doubting that the team said, you know what, let's not put you out there because you're not 100% with that hamstring. We saw him trying to loosen it up on the sideline. But so that's fine if they made the decision. But to me, what's not fine is here's a guy who we thought was back to being healthy, 100%, played limited snaps last week, came in all week long in practice. Everything was going in the right direction, and once again showed up questionable on the injury report to the point where they made a move. They released Leroy Reynolds. They get Tony Washington on the roster to make sure they had enough wide receiver depth to cover it. It's the fact that he's even in a position where the team feels they need to protect his health, which goes to show you that they don't know how long you can put him out there for any extended period of time and expect to get a healthy Marquise Lee on the other end.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways you can look at it, Mike. I love your perspective. Mine was mine. You know, and the hamstring is tricky. Now, I had one in 99 where I was in and out of the lineup. Here for, you know, a few snaps, and then it pops. Here for a game or two, then it tweaks. I mean, it's just such a tricky injury, those tricky soft tissue things. But, you know, hopefully it was for the best interest of the organization, the team. And I like to see him healthy, though. You know, I mean, even I'm sure a lot of people said that about me. But he's a talent, man. You want all of those guys out there to at least give him a shot to be competitive. And it's just frustrating when, you know, you don't have everybody firing on all cylinders.
Fred, we still say that about you. We want to see you healthy, Fred.
Of course, man. All the time. I mean, I'm drinking my greens. You know, I got my carrot juice going, that type of health. But the football, the physical health, JP, yeah. I don't have to worry about that as much as I used to back in those days. You know, I'm not going to hit anything these days.
We're back in a moment. Final thoughts from Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey. We'll preview next week's matchup against the Indianapolis Colts. Final score in week 3, all Patriots, 51-17. Final moments of Jaguars postgame after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final moments of Jaguars postgame, all Patriots, 51-17 in week 3. This will be the last time we say this. The most points allowed in Jaguars history.
Won't be the last time we say it, I have a feeling.
Well, at least for now. At least on this show.
In the next couple minutes, all right, I'll refrain from mentioning that.
On this show. Final moments with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey, JP Shadrick with you. It's the Indianapolis Colts coming in, or going to Indianapolis next week, rather. The three-game road trip continues. The Jags will play 6 of the next 7 games, including today, away from Everbank Field. And that continues next week at Lucas Oil Stadium. The Colts today rallied. Andrew Luck threw a couple of touchdown passes within a minute of each other in the fourth quarter. And they scored 21 fourth-quarter points, by the way, to beat the Titans. The Titans had a chance to tie with a 2-point conversion try late, but couldn't get it done. 35-33. So the Colts finally get a win, Fred. It's an Andrew Luck-led team. There are some aging players around him, though, and some concerns on the line and some protection things. So what do you make of the Colts right now that they finally got a win?
You know, they're the Colts. You know, they've led this division for quite some time. And, you know, they have a quarterback who's a great talent. He's shown early in his career that he can get it done. They put a few pieces, you know, they added some guys there in Frank Gore, Andre Johnson, to go with, you know, T.Y. and those other guys, Philip Dorsett out of the U. A couple guys, they're trying to put some players around him. But, you know, he's not playing his best right now. Their defense is what their defense has been, you know, going way back to when Peyton Manning was at the steering wheel, you know, so their defense will give up points, and they've given up a lot of points this year. It's when their offense isn't, you know, hitting on all cylinders, then they're very susceptible to taking the L. So if we could, as a defense, find this week to create some turnovers and hopefully get him off his mark, you know, here and there, I think then the team will have an opportunity to win, as well as trying to establish a run. I'd like to see TJ have a breakout game.
Yeah, you're right, Fred, about creating some turnovers. The Colts have been susceptible to that. Andrew Luck had like 90 yards passing into the third quarter with a couple of interceptions, so they got hot late. I just think the biggest thing out there, look, the team is going to have to tell the truth Monday. They're going to watch the film. They're going to do all the things they do, and they're going to try to put it behind them. I'm sure we'll talk about it on the radio for the next day or so. But for fans out there, just turn the page. It's week four already in the National Football League, and you're tied for first place. And if you can win this next game, as bad as you lost this game today, Fred, nobody really was counting on this as a W in the victory column. So forget the way it went down. If you can come back next week against the Colts, that was the one you had to have if you're going to choose one out of the two for sure.
I mean, beating the Colts will make this pill easier to swallow. I mean, but we're still, you know, it's Jacksonville. You know, these fans aren't going to let this die down. I mean, you could tell the fans, let's forget it. But, you know, a lot of these same fans were calling for Coach Coughlin's head. You know, that was one of the biggest outcries that shouldn't have never taken place. But that's in the past. So I think, like, in any case, the best way to get rid of a sour taste, you know, especially a blowout, is to go out and get a win. But it'll be even better to beat the Colts in Indy.
Fred, well done. As always, we will talk to you next week in the pregame before the Jags go up and beat the Colts and move to 2-2. How about that?
JP, man, I wish I could have suited up today. I don't know if it would have helped. But
we wish you could have, too. We wish you could have suited up for the Patriots and maybe dropped it a few times. We needed something. We need to find a way to get some stops, Freddie.
If you follow the trolls that have been getting after me on Twitter the past couple days, then I think I would have loved to donate a few fumbles.
I bet you would have, man.
Did you tell one of them that you hoped that the power went off in their mom's basement?
Yeah, you know
something?
What? Yeah, that was last night. I'm trying to enjoy the Gators' victory, and this guy, he comes up and said, look at the former washed-up Patriot players. You know, having a conversation over Twitter. It was myself, Brandon Spikes, and Dante Stallworth. So I went back, did a little homework, JP, Mike, and in his profile, his location is my mother's basement. I just politely said, you know, I hope the electricity shuts off for the entire winter in your mother's basement. So no harm, no foul. The Twitter, it was like the comeback tweet of the year or something.
Yeah, it was. I think that qualifies. Fred, well done. We'll think of some new tweets next week. How's
Thanks,
that?
Fred.
Next week will be much better, guys. I appreciate it. It was great.
There he is, Fred Taylor, proud of the Jaguars running back, joining us. That's a good way to finish on a very tough day for the Jaguars. 51-17, the final score. Hey, if you want to get in, the phone calls here in Jacksonville on our flagship station, 1010XL. The scoreboard show is next, 1-800-355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. That's coming up next on 1010XL in Jacksonville. The Jaguars' VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Manager of radio, Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato are the producers. For Fred Taylor, Jeff Lagerman, Mike Dempsey, and everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick saying goodnight. Final score in Week 3, Patriots 51, Jaguars 17 on the Jaguars Radio Network.